Every 3 years when we hear this gospel passion account according to St. Mark, I can't help but notice how St. Mark introduces the passion narrative by telling us about what Jesus does right before he enters Jerusalem for the last time. He goes to Bethany, and Bethany is a town right outside of Jerusalem. It was there that his close friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. It was there that he raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been in the tomb for 4 days. And it was there, we're told in today's gospel, that he went to a supper. It was a supper held by a man named Simon, and there were a number of people there. And during that supper, a woman comes in and does something that caused quite a stir. She comes in with a very expensive jar of oil, of perfumed oil. We're told that she breaks the alabaster jar and pours it on his head. So what St. Mark gives us here is a very important image that's going to help us to interpret what's going to happen in the Passion. This jar of perfumed oil was very precious indeed. It contained nard, which is grown in India. So nowadays, when we can get things from Amazon, we don't worry so much about where something's from. But in Jesus's time, to have this perfume from a foreign country so far away, it's very precious indeed. This jar of ointment would have cost thousands of dollars in our current equivalent. No wonder such a stir was caused when she breaks the jar and pours out its contents. It's interesting that the word that Mark uses here for breaks is also translated as shatters. And so we have this sense that as the woman literally shatters this jar, all of its contents pour out on Jesus. It's not like she carefully opens this precious container and pours out just a drop so that they can use it again for another occasion. She's not even worried about using the alabaster jar for another occasion. She shatters it, and all of its contents pour out upon Jesus. So that's the image that Mark uses to set up his passion narrative. So in that shattered jar where everything is poured out, all of its precious contents, we're supposed to see an image of Jesus himself. And so Mark tells us about how Jesus is nailed to the cross. And of course, the blood would have flowed from his body. Mark helps us to see the quality of gift that Jesus is making. He's not just pouring out a little bit for us to save some later for maybe somebody more worthy than me and you, but rather he allows his body to be completely broken, shattered, and completely poured out. This is the way we're supposed to see Jesus' sacrifice, that it's a whole giving of self. He's giving himself entirely, pouring out everything that he has and is, humanity, divinity, body, soul, heart, spirit, everything that he has, he offers. That's the quality of the gift that Jesus gives on the cross. Also, this image of the shattered jar with its contents poured out tells us something about the response that we too can make back to Jesus. The woman so generously gives this very, very precious gift. But what's more precious than that oil and its jar is the woman herself. So precious in the eyes of God, the human person, the most precious thing that God ever created is you and me. And so when the woman shatters that jar, that precious jar, and pours out the precious ointment on his head, we're also supposed to see how God is inviting us to respond to this total gift that Jesus makes to us on the cross. He's inviting us to respond to his total gift with a total gift of ourself. It's good for us to hear what those other guests at that supper said when the woman poured out this expensive oil on Jesus. They said, "Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil?" Isn't that something? It tells us something about the hearts of those people who were watching all of this, that they thought that a gift could be wasted on Jesus, that Jesus wasn't good enough or worthy enough to receive this precious gift. The gift instead was wasted on him. But if Jesus didn't regard his own life as something to be held onto, but rather was willing to waste his whole life, humanity, divinity, body, soul, spirit, heart, on me and on you, we who are sinners, most unworthy of God's gift, then how much more is God inviting us to waste ourselves back on Jesus? Is it possible that we can think that we might be wasting things on Jesus? Are we tempted to think sometimes that the time we give to Jesus in prayer is wasted time? Or the time that it takes for us to go to Mass on Sundays, wasted time? Are we sometimes tempted to think that? Or that our treasure that we give, the money that God has given us, that we offer back to him by rebuilding our beautiful church or by providing for the needs of the poor, God's poor, Christ's poor, are we sometimes tempted to think that that's a waste if we spend it that way, by giving it back to God? All aspects of our life, actually, God's inviting us to give generously back to him, to make our whole life a gift, to give God our marriage and our family, to give God our work, our hobbies, our recreation, our friendships, our free time, our sexuality, our politics, everything that we hold precious in this life. God is inviting us to submit to him and to be his. The temptation is always going to be for us that God doesn't need everything. I'll give him some. He doesn't need all. But again, we're invited through this image to look back at Jesus and the offering he makes on the cross. The crucifix is covered, I just realized, so we can't even look at him right now. But this is the image that God's inviting us to hold in our hearts today as we hear the story of the gift of the life of his son that he gives us so generously and freely, inviting us to reflect on the fullness of this gift and the totality of this gift for me, an unworthy sinner, for you, an unworthy sinner. So if Jesus has been so generous to us in giving us this gift, how will we respond by making a gift back to him?